Next question. Why the advent of Mahaprabhu is not mentioned in the scriptures directly like other incarnations? Is it that Sri Vyas himself not clear about Gaur Lila? Or is it happening in the history of mankind for the first time? All those things are, yes, it's happening in the history of mankind for the first time. And Vyasa Veti Naveti Va, maybe Vyasadeva knows, maybe doesn't know. Mystical things are happening with Vyas. He's writing many things in the Vedas. And we say that he knows. If my student gives a class, the teacher, let's say, the teacher, then the student gives a class. Sometimes the teacher will sit in the back of the class just to see how the student is doing. See, Vyasadeva did not sit in the back when Sukadeva spoke the Bhagavatam. He sat up front. Generally, the teacher will go in the back and just watch the student, see how well he's learned the thing and give the class. You've seen it many times. Teacher does not sit up front with great eagerness to hear the student speak, does he? No. But Vyas sat up front. Because Sukadeva, he was something very special. He learned the Bhagavatam from Vyas, but he was something very special nonetheless. And Vyas knows that the power of Bhagavan came through him like the Ganges falling from heaven. And he spoke so fast. Ganesh is writing. His pencils, his thing went down, broke his own thing and keep writing. So fast he was coming. He was coming down so fast. And so he's teaching his student. That's Sukadeva. But this process, it's something wonderful, what Krishna will reveal. Sometimes the guru is speaking, but what the disciple hears, it's something wonderful. As Asi said, the guru himself may not be fully conscious of what he has just done or given. There are some extremes of that also. That's another subject. It is a little bit more advanced subject. Generally, you don't say Vyas doesn't know. But it may be that he didn't clearly know, because Mahaprabhu is a hidden incarnation. Lord Brahma saw Krishna before. Vishnu, he knows Vishnu. He knows Vishnu very well. But when Krishna came, he didn't know. Indra also, he knows who is Vishnu. But when Krishna came, Indra tried to punish Krishna. Tried to pour rain on Krishna. He tried to kill Krishna almost. He wanted to punish Vrindavan, punish that cowherd boy, or punish all these people. And Brahma, he's the head of the Sampradaya. He also, who's this boy in Vrindavan? Everybody thinks this boy is so great. And I'll spoil the fun. So he went there and kidnapped all these cowherd boys, and he kidnapped all the cows. He wants to see Krishna standing crying, "Where are your cows now, little boy?" Then Brahma went back and looked behind the bush, and he saw all the boys were sitting there, and all the cows were grazing there. Then he ran back to this place where he hid them. All those boys that he had captured were in a sleeping mood, trance. They're just there. All the cows, everything's just asleep. He ran back again. Krishna is not alone. He's with all his boys. He's with all the cows. He bewildered Brahma. Brahma is the head of the Sampradaya. Brahma is the Adi Guru. But he is a piece of clay in the hand of Krishna. And that is Krishna's desire. He bewilders sometimes even his own devotee. Makes him dumb. Krishna is the supreme knower. He is all knowing. He is everything. And everything else is a part. And the whole plays with the part as he likes. So Vyas may or may not have known directly. But when Vyas came as Vrindavan Das Thakur, it is said Vrindavan Das Thakur is the incarnation of Vyasadeva. Then he got to know clearly what is Gaur Lila. And he wrote then extensively, he wrote Chaitanya Bhagavat about that. Why it's not directly mentioned, then it wouldn't be a hidden incarnation. Krishna is known, or Vishnu is known, as Triyuga. In three yugas, it is mentioned who and clearly who he is. Bhagavad Gita says, yuge, yuge. Every yuga, Bhagavan comes. Every yuga, once in every yuga, Bhagavan comes. So how is it here in India there are at least 10 or 15 Bhagavans? When Bhagavan only comes once in a yuga, then how do you have 10 or 15 present at the same time? There was Bum Bum Baba, Sly Baba, Manipati, so Kalki. Kalki Avatar living with his wife now. Kalki came and his horse became his wife. They're living in Chennai and have a big temple in Bangalore. And so many people like rabbits. Rabbits, you know, it's quite a dumb animal. You just put some vegetables there, it will come from the bush and nibble it. Like the intelligence of a rabbit, the people come there and pray. No script, they won't study any book. They want to go to some big marble temple or big nice white building with golden doorknobs and everything, and they just want to be cheated. They won't sit home and read Bhagavad Gita and study Upanishads, study Puranas, or study Veda, and study what rishis say, and understand what is God. God himself said, there is God, and God does come to the world. But he says, I come once in a yuga. And then we should think, how are there so many present here on the same day? And then they are dying like the ordinary man, and they are doing the very ordinary things, but they are very interested in money. All these Bhagavans. They have so much interest in money. So, in one yuga, in every yuga the Lord appears. In Kali Yuga, he's a hidden incarnation. So if the Vedas just clearly said, here will be Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and just said it clearly, then what is hidden? I say, we used to play this game, right? We hide something here in the ashram for the children. And then I say, it stands beside something tall. So immediately they think, poles, trees. Then there'll be another hint. The sun cannot touch it. Oh, okay, it must be under something, right? The hint, the search begins, right? But what, I say, okay, we're going to have a hunt. I hid something, and then there's a sign right here that says, it's under my car. And what is the meaning of the hunt? What is the meaning of the secret? The answer is just printed on the wall. There's no meaning. So it is not clearly said any particular place. There are hints about what he will be like. Krishna Varnam Tvesha Krishnam Sango Pangrastapara Sadam Yajne Sankirtana Prayer Sumidasha. He will perform Sankirtan. So many of these bogi yogis, they don't do Sankirtan. This is a primary quality of God in Kali Yuga, Yuga Avatar. He will do Sankirtan. And other little places it is mentioned. In this way, some hints are given. Who is that hidden avatar? Who is that secret avatar in Kali Yuga? You follow? So, but like Vamana and other avatars, just it mentions them clearly. They're not hidden. They're very right up front. They're there. And they're easily known. So another question here is that Srila Prabhupada wrote and extensively distributed to the common people the book known as Krishna book, but it is highly advised, means on another thing, it is highly advised not to read 10th canto. So this appears contradiction to me. So why is it? And what is one supposed to do at the beginning stage? So yes, it is advised, don't jump to 10th canto. 10th canto is advanced stage of Bhagavatam. It is not advised, don't read 10th canto. It is advised, don't jump to 10th canto. There are 9 other cantos, and so much progress in your understanding is necessary. But what happened historically is 10th canto was translated in more like a storybook form, and it was published, I think it was published before the second canto was finished. But if you have a look there, you'll see that everything is with explanation for the beginners. Very advanced souls, advanced type devotees, they may not read Krishna book, maybe. You know, I think Prabhupada's disciples would and others, but many people would not, because that is Krishna Leela explained for the beginners. Do you follow whoever answered that question? That is so you must know about Krishna. And Prabhupada already, he was 70 years old when it began. And he's thinking, how long I'm going to be here. It takes me many, many years to finish all of this. So in all this time, I won't tell them about Krishna. And I have to tell them about Krishna. But I have to tell them about Krishna with 100 kilos of caution and explanation. And that is there. Then, even 10th canto of Bhagavatam, that only touches upon the Leela of Krishna. I think maybe 20-25 demons are killed in 10th canto. Krishna killed 25 demons a day in Vrindavan, and some days more. But only the big ones are mentioned. There's one rasa dance there called Rasa Leela. There are many rasa dances. Krishna holds many rasa dances. He held rasa dance in Govardhan. He has rasa dance in Radhakund. And there are levels of rasa dance. In general Rasa Leela, millions of devotees are there in Rasa Leela. In some Rasa Leela, less than 10. So who are those 10? What is the quality of that? In a general dancing, so many people come. And in the old days, then there would be some dancing. Only the king, only the deity, the king, and certain class of Brahmins and most dignitary type people, they will see that Bharatanatyam dancing. Some special dancing will be there. You see these old Hoysala temples in front of the... in one mandap, there'll be one circle. That was for that special dancing. Special dancing. Not possible for the ordinary man who works the rice field. He may be devotee, but this is a high-class thing. He's not a high-class devotee. He doesn't have the qualification there for whatever reason. He can't come in that exhibition. So, also just to mention that everything is not for the public. And it shouldn't be that hard to understand. Everything you do is not for the public. That's why you have doors, windows, and curtains on your house. Otherwise, you just open all your doors and windows and everything is not eating is not even in the public, actually. Proper eating. If you want good health, don't eat in restaurants. Don't eat standing up. Don't eat on a street corner. Don't eat in a bus stand unless you really have to. If that's your regular habit, your life airs aren't adjusted properly. You should sit down to eat. You should sit down in a clean and friendly environment. And you should not eat where people are thinking, oh, I'd like to eat that samosa. You're eating a samosa, and some man is saying, oh, that looks good. I'd like to eat that samosa. That's not good. Animals see what you eat. They transfer like a hateful, in the modern way we call it vibration. You know, like bad luck goes to you that they see that food. If an animal sees the offering, by the way, I've never mentioned this, because we have cats here. If the cat sees the offering, you can't offer it to Krishna. You have to make sure it reaches to Krishna without any of these animals jumping up and seeing it. Because as soon as they see it, it's finished. You see. Once it's prasadam, they can't spoil it. You see. They can't spoil it. So that's the Vedic belief about eating. So eating should be done in privacy. So many things for the reason, for various reasons. But now Krishna has no privacy. We'll just invade anything Krishna does and we'll just make it a public affair. I don't think so. Remember, we're in God's image. You want your privacy. Then why wouldn't he want his? He's with his certain group of devotees. They want to talk something. They want to experience something. They want to do something. Whatever that something is, maybe we'll never even know what it is. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ramananda Roy and Mahaprabhu talked. And they talked about many high things of Krishna Leela. And at one point, he just says, and they just kept on talking. And they talked day and night. And they talked about things that no human being can understand. And he didn't bother to even write about them. And then there are many, many things, many high things of Krishna that are written. But who are they for? Just like physics. You can enter physics in your, whatever, just after 12th year or whatever, 12th standard, you can start studying physics. But on that day, we can bring one other type physics book and we can lay it in front of you and it will make you just dumb. You won't know nothing what is going on in that physics book. That is the advanced physics. But in your 10th standard, you can start some physics and you can slowly come up. So there is gradation in literature. What's good for the world is Bhagavad Gita. That is good for the world, actually. The knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. It keeps getting presented due to language and society changing. There are many editions of the Bhagavad Gita. Sincere, truthful, pure editions of Bhagavad Gita are there. And there may be future ones yet to come, because there's a necessity. Explaining the truth in a cultural context or at a particular time or in a particular place. Otherwise, why anybody has to say anything, there's the Bhagavad Gita. But fact is, only the devotees can understand it, and then they explain it for the people. Understand? So there's gradation. And the ordinary people, they need that. Who is a little more advanced, they can study Upanishads. A little more advanced than that, we can study Puranas. Particularly Bhagavat Purana. And after Bhagavat Purana, there are many literatures, actually. And some of them, they are not to be studied. Study is a different thing. Study is you are progressing, right? Once you've progressed, you have already achieved the ultimate goal of life, you're not studying it anymore. You're not climbing it. You have achieved the ultimate goal of life. Then there are some literatures, there are some poetries, and there are some books which are for you then. They are for that. They are your medicine then. They are your food then. Beginner or little advanced? Little advanced. That goes a long ways. That it's a little... goes, that's a big word, little advanced. Goes for a long time. Don't try to eat the diet of the Paramahansa. It won't be good for you. Many levels are there. Why higher literatures about Krishna exist? Why they exist. But until you are very advanced, until we are very advanced in love of Krishna, these literatures will do very less good to you. You can go down to a so-called lower literature, and that will do more good to you. So therefore, I say the highest thing is your next step. That is the highest. Take that. And when you achieve that next step, the next highest will manifest in front of you. What is high for the student, what is high for the teacher, two different things. The high, he does not just spend all his time with the student. He gives instruction. He has his own thinking. He has his own way. More than the student. He can come down and go back up, come down and go back up. That's what teachers do. But students, it's not good. They try to go up. They fall off the chair and break their neck when they're up there. Step by step. Understand? What you should do in the beginning stage, you should follow the direction of those who have gone before you. And what is the good thing about having a spiritual master is we're under guidance. What do I learn next? Learn the sitar by yourself. Only a fool would try that. Learn it with a teacher, and he'll say, first you learn this finger movement, then you do this, then you add this, then you add this, then you that, and suddenly you're like, there you go. You're playing. Do it on your own, and it doesn't happen. Now here's three questions. Okay. We are forbidden to hear the higher pastimes of Krishna. That has to mean adjusted. Forbidden. If a higher devotee wishes to tell you about the pastimes of Krishna, he can do that, actually. He can do that. But that doesn't mean you turn around and make that conversation with everybody on Sunday afternoon. It just doesn't go like that. One of the reasons being that we will not be able to understand it because we relate the Lord's transcendental activities to the mundane activities of this world. That's true. And not just the activities, it actually comes to the point of emotions. Leela enters emotions. That's called bhava. Bhava and prema. Those are purified, transcendental emotions of love. And we don't know about those things down here in this world. We only know the emotions of mother, father, brother, sister, country, friend, lover, all these things. And these things are not the same heart feelings. You feel love in this world and the heart and pain and everything. That's all your anarthas rubbing together. That's it. That's all they are. An anartha has not been fulfilled. A friend died. Oh, my friend is gone. You see, that is not the pure love of friendship in eternity. The feeling of a friendship there is so much more, but so much broader and so much deeper. There's a similarity. Friendship here, it's a little bit similar, but the quality of it is so different. Once there was some gentlemen, they came, they wanted to do a drama, and they were expert at Odia dance and drama. These were cultured, classical artists. They came to Prabhupada in Jagannath Puri to do, they wanted a blessing to do a movie about Krishna Leela. Prabhupada said, I'm sorry, I cannot give blessing. They thought, you know, Swamis just go like this, and they go. He told them, no, I cannot give blessing, and in fact, you can't do that. You shouldn't do that. This is a an hour conversation, where he kept saying, no, no, no. Then they would adjust and, well, no, see, we're going to use the classical. And no, no, no. Then they'd bend this way. No, I never saw him say, or read, he said no so many times in an hour. It's amazing. So then they finally said, Rasa Leela, never. Oh, okay, Swami, if we can do one drama, Krishna Leela Yasoda. No, no, no. Then lastly he said, you want to do drama, do Kurukshetra and Bhagavad Gita. Do your drama and preach Bhagavad Gita. This will do good to the people. Every other level of Krishna Leela will be misunderstood by the people. If you go to Gujarat, everybody, every lady especially, is a Vatsalya Rasi. Right? Every house there's Bal Krishna. What is the Bal Krishna? Hardly anybody really knows. But they're all mothers. And that's natural. The lady will think, oh, Krishna, my son, my child, Krishna. That's all mundane thinking. That's all material thinking. There is Mother Yasoda. Krishna can be your child. I mean, love of Krishna as he's your child. That's called Vatsalya Rasa. But this is the shadow. How much? You can take any man in the world, and I'll pick a man. We'll cast a shadow on the ground. You take a picture of the shadow. You use a scan of the shadow. You have a pen and a paper and bring your artist, and you cannot draw what his nose looks like. Can you? Because it's just a shadow. You can stare at that shadow forever, and you never know what the face of the man looks like. It's not possible. It's just a shadow. So the love of this world in all its categories, from the sweetest love to the most treacherous types of love and all these things that go on, strange love, they're all just shadows. You cannot understand them clearly. But when the heart is purified, then the shadow turns into reality. Then you see through the love of this world to its eternal source. That's called the mirror of the heart. The mirror is all dusty. When the mirror is clean, then you can see clearly the reflection, what this actually comes from. It's a fact. If a 3 or 4 year old kid crawls up on here and stands up and walks across this room, every single person in this room goes and watches the kid. I have seen it 1,000 times. No one can deny, no one can ignore the charm of a child. The charm of Krishna as a child is 100 million times at least greater than that charm. That child walks. It's charm. It's child. It's the infant charm. It's the, what is the word in Sanskrit, the first age of Komara or something it's called?
Komara.
That's the charm of Komara, of that youth. It attracts us. It's a certain plane of beauty. You can't imagine a kid 100 million times more beautiful, 100 million times more charming, 2 times more charming. Master, that was an ugly kid, maybe a little better looking kid, but 100 million times more beautiful? That's not possible. That's right. In this world, that is not possible. The Leela of Krishna is never actually in this world. It was in Mathura. It could be seen, and then it goes. It is there. Our Leela is there. Hear that sound? Oh, that is the Leela. Krishna's kitchen is in action. Someone is serving and cleaning and cooking and taking care of Krishna here. Many people want to roam around and talk about the Leela, but when the Leela came down here, they don't want anything to do with it. They won't serve. They talk about Radha and Krishna, then learn to serve the deities. Oh, the gopis are picking flowers. Then get your lazy butt out of bed and go pick flowers and bring them to the temple. That's the truth. Here is the chance to be in Krishna Leela. When you live in an ashram, here's the chance to be in Krishna Leela. When you're in Sankirtan Leela. Sankirtan Leela is the reflection of Rasa Leela, actually. That's agreed upon by all the great acharyas. Sankirtan Leela. And it has its branches, but it means that kirtan, this dancing kirtan, will take you to that dancing kirtan. But first, this Leela has to be dealt with. You, Krishna, and the armies of this world, all the friends and enemies are here. A big war has to be fought. Who do you follow? Who do you actually believe in? Who is your master? Krishna says, kill Drona. My guru, my teacher. Yes. Are you for him or are you for me? He says. Everything is put to test here. If you study the Mahabharata thing, it's a big story, but it comes down, everything is put to test. We are for Krishna in the end. Bhishma, Bhishma gets killed. You can almost say he's killed by Krishna. They have also a big fight. Bhishma is completely happy with that. He has no complaint. He's so happy with that. He was shooting Krishna. You cannot act like Bhishma. Bhishma would shoot Krishna and the arrow would hit Krishna. And Krishna felt it as just like kisses of the gopis. Ah, a good punch he is given. Then, boom, you give one back. Those are chachis. Just like, you know, some big men meet, they give a punch on the arm at their friends. They give a punch or they... If you ever shake hands with a big man, it's like, ouch. You know, they like to see that, yes, squeeze, like hard, you know. And a gentleman, the banker, he doesn't shake like that. He gives a little squeeze. But the wrestler gives a big... And they don't cry, oh, you squeezed me, oh, you beat me. They like that pain, right? Like the bull. No, you don't beat the bull. That's not what I'm saying. The bull likes to work. They get happy when they have some work. Of course, people overwork them and they beat them and all these things is bad. But if the bull is just there doing nothing, actually his health goes down. He likes to get some weight and pull it. Like sometimes we used to go hiking in these mountains in Sahyadris near Subramanian. And we'd put our pack, 25 kilos. Ah, it felt good, some weight and hiking and sweating. And it's good for you, right? So... And that goes on into eternity. Sometimes Krishna wants to fight. And not even the biggest demon can really give Krishna a fight. So his own devotees volunteer, I'll become a demon. Jai and Vijay. And they become demons because devotees are always superior. If a devotee wants to fight, he can fight better than a demon. If a devotee wants to do anything, he can do it better than the demons who are not devotees. So those devotees, they see, oh, Vishnu, he wants to fight, but there's nobody to fight him. Nobody's got the power to fight him. But we are almost equal to him. The Vishnu Dutas, they almost have an equal strength of Vishnu. That's the nature of the spiritual world. People have almost the beauty of Krishna. Almost. Not quite. Almost. But if you took all the Vishnu Dutas together, still they could not defeat Narayan. Because the little bit more power he has is infinite. And they can never cross this thing. It's like the rope in Mother Yasoda. She tries to tie the rope around Krishna. Just this much short. So she adds 2 meters. No problem. Still it's this much too. She got all the ropes in the village and tied them together and one time went around Krishna. It was this much too short because this distance around Krishna is infinite. And the last inch can never be. Then Krishna said, okay, tie me. Then she tied. The infinite surrenders to the love of his devotee. Otherwise, no one can conquer the infinite. So in the spiritual world, devotees are almost as beautiful, almost as powerful as Krishna. So this Jai Vijay, they became different demons and they gave fight. to Vishnu. They get Kumbh, who was it? Was it Ravana or Kumbhakarna? Kumbhakarna was one. Ravana was one. They give good fight to Ram. Good fight. And big armies and all these things. But ultimately they will be defeated. No one can defeat the Supreme Lord. No one can actually challenge him. But he accepts their challenge for his own fun. Since all the activities of the Lord are transcendental, should there be any restriction to hear the other pastimes of the Lord as well? Yes. Krishna kills demons. He kills those demons in this world because they represent certain demons in our hearts. Desire for name and fame, deceitfulness, all these things are there in this world. And Krishna kills a demon, generally it corresponds to some of the main demons that correspond. So if you hear about Krishna killing that demon, that helps to kill that anartha in your heart. So first, hear about all the demons Krishna killed before you try to hear about Krishna's love affairs of higher type, because you will confuse. Everyone confused. Why Krishna has so many wives? Why Krishna is dancing with gopis? Everybody complains because confused. But if they would hear Krishna killed demons and everything, slowly they get purified. Only they heard about this Leela business, they get confused. They're not at fault. The problem is not really their problem. It's a universal problem. But if you hear Krishna killed a demon, no complaint. Nobody's complaint about that. So, but because they don't hear these things properly, there's no purification. What is the difference between Jnana Mishra and Jnana Purvaka Bhakti? Well, there is a certain group of people, and they're called the Tattvavadis, and there are others too. They first you get Jnana. After you get Jnana, then you can get Bhakti. We say, no, it's just the other way around. First, go for Bhakti. Then you'll get Jnana. It's just the opposite. Jnana Purva Bhakti means first you have to study, then you can get Bhakti. And we say, no, it's the other way around. First, you perform devotion. Learn devotion. Krishna will reveal everything to you. Then you'll get knowledge. And Jnana Mishra Bhakti means you calculate based on your knowledge, your devotion. You're mixing knowledge and devotion. You serve Krishna because he's God. What if he wasn't? Well, that'd be a hard question to answer today. If he wasn't, well, I guess we wouldn't. But in Vrindavan, they don't know Krishna is God. That is Leela. Leela means when you're going to forget, you're going to forget that Krishna is God. That's Leela. You forget that now, you'll be in Maya. You can't forget that now. So knowledge creates a type of a calculation. It spoils everything. Suddenly Mother Yasoda, she's experiencing something with Krishna, her child. She's going to punish Krishna. She squeezed his face and says, "Let me see in your mouth. You ate dirt." She wants to see any dirt that's in his mouth. So he opens his mouth. There was a bit of dirt in there. There was the earth, the moon, the sun. And she just looked into this big hole, and it was the whole universe. And then she came back and looked at this boy like, "My God, my God, my God." Everything spoiled. Krishna went, and just went, gone. "Don't do that again. That's my mother. That's Leela. You forgot he's God under Yoga Maya. And when you knew he was God, then she's like, oh my God, you must put him down. Bring a Deepa, you know, to do all everything. God, God, you know." And Krishna says, "No time for that. You know, that's Leela. But you can't imitate it. You can't jump too fast. You see." And although you can hear, say we're talking something in a, this Leela has humor. Humor is a rasa. Some of Krishna's leelas make you laugh. Some make you cry. Some different feelings are there, different types. Some are the chivalrous. It's called chivalrous. In English we say chivalrous ras. That's Arjuna, that's Bhima, the fighting. They're on battle with Krishna. They're on battle against Krishna. That's not recommended. Don't try to think like that. You'll give fight to Krishna. You'll give battle to Krishna. That's not a recommended ras to follow. But that is a ras, and that is a leela that's going on. That is also a rasa leela. Understand, Jay said rasa leela is gopis and Krishna dancing. No. All leelas are rasas. They're all rasa leela. then within that, there are different types of bhavas and all these things. They're very complicated, and it is not acquired by studying all the words, knowing all the correct pronunciations, and all this thing is not the path. The path is through submissive service, through proper association, and cultivating pure chanting of the name of Krishna. That is the way to eternity. Along the way, sometimes one becomes a scholar, and he can explain that. Challenges come. Sometimes books are written because challenge came to bhakti and said, you people don't know, you people don't know, and they get enough crowd, and a big debate takes place, and they say, you see, these bhaktis, they don't know. They don't know Vedanta. They don't know Vedanta. And they try to intimidate that bhakti is a lower thing. Then suddenly one devotee stands up and says, well, by the grace of Govinda, I guess I have to say something about Vedanta. And he writes whole Vedanta Tika and just blows him out the door. But then we all shouldn't think, oh, we should also learn to write Vedanta Tika. No, he just did that because we were under attack. That was Baladev Vidyabhushan. He wrote Govinda Bhasya, Vedanta Tika, and completely pushed all the opposition out the door. Now go home. Bhakti is bona fide. Gaudiya Bhakti is bona fide. But otherwise, there was no need to study Vedanta for the devotees because they study Bhagavatam, and Bhagavatam is Vyasadeva's own commentary on the Vedanta. It's superior. Bhagavatam is superior to Vedanta. Vedanta, after you study the whole thing for your lifetime, you'll still only have a hazy idea of the Absolute, where it goes and what it is. It's still far away. If you study Bhagavatam, study means you read Bhagavatam and you associate with the Bhagavatam clan, those devotees, you have quite a clear idea of the personality of Godhead and all things building up to and experience of love of God. But you can't get love of God from the Vedanta. That's a fact. And the fact is, there's so many Vedantists, they study it for lifetime after lifetime, they still don't have the love of God. There's a proof of it is there also. So, at what point may one begin meditating on Astak Kala Lila? In the morning. Vishnu Maharaj wrote a very nice article how the Astak Kala Lila means the eight divisions of Krishna's pastime. So he wrote a very nice article years ago. You can find it. It's around some places. And he explained many of the aspects of Krishna, particularly the morning Lila is so important in this Astak Kala Lila meditation. And that begins here. The question is, how to begin? Here. Right here. Come early in the morning. See the Sringar of the Lord in the morning. Then participate in the Lord's morning services, pastimes. But what this person, the devotee, probably means is, know those pastimes that run in eternity. You don't start meditating at any point. It starts meditating on you. When do we start the monsoon? You don't start the monsoon. The monsoon starts itself. You have nothing to do except for wait and be ready. And the farmers get ready. The plants get ready. The fields get ready. Everything gets ready. And they simply wait. And sometimes it doesn't come. You cannot bring the monsoon. Last year they were talking about seeding the clouds. I thought, oh, if that goes, that just money went in someone's pocket. They'd probably take the plane up and throw salt out the window, you know. Just achieving business. You cannot make the rain. You spend millions, crores, and when you get one drop here and there, it doesn't work that way. Live properly. Stop cutting down all the trees, deforesting the place. Stop the sinful activities. Then the good rains come. That's a fact. Last year we didn't get good rains, and it was somehow or another, they cut every old tree between Bangalore and Mandya. And now they're going to cut them between Mandya and Mysore. Cut the old trees. Has anybody seen this film called Lord of the Rings here? Lord of the Rings. Did anybody see that movie? Okay, there's a few people saw it. Well, there's a bad guy in there. He's a big, big demon. And he's going to make a whole bunch of other demons. And to do it, he has to cut down all the old trees. And in the movie, it shows him cutting down these big... Well, in the movie, maybe they're 1,000-year-old trees. So they can burn and cook up this thing and cook up some demons. You know, they're making a demon out of the fire. They need fire. So they cut all the trees. Right? So the man is writing that. He's giving a little idea there. This cutting the trees, old trees, massacring the trees for our our convenient needs of the day. It's demoniac. And this will bring bad things to us, not good things. Now, on the other hand, if they demonstrated, well, those old trees, they had to go, they were all, you know, there may be, you know, we have to work the nature. You can't just let trees grow everywhere. But did they plant an equal number and are going to assure us that an equal number of trees are going to replace those ones on the highway? And the answer is no. The government only grows trees that they cut for harvesting. They grow this eucalyptus for paper. They grow this ironwood and a few other silly things for... They don't grow the big, beautiful trees anymore. You never see them. They don't plant them. Very rarely. So then that was a sin. And by the way, we did not get good rains in this part of India last year. Other places got good rains. We didn't get. This area particularly did not get. It says if you want rain, plant trees. The rain will bring the tree. The trees will bring the rain. You have no power to bring the rain. The trees can bring the rain. And that's true. Wherever there's trees, usually there's rain. Where there's no trees, there's no rain. It's connected. That the Leela of Krishna is... You don't try to go up and open the window and see Krishna's Leela and meditate it in your mind what it is. You try to purify yourself, and it's just like the rising sun in your heart. The sun just comes and just shows you everything. All you have to do is be there when it happens. Be there when it happens means chant the holy name purely, sincerely. Then it is a descending process. That is called Swarup Siddhi. Swarup Siddhi. Very high stage of bhakti. Swarup Siddhi. You see right through the concrete wall of this world and you know the Leela of Krishna. You have direct experience. Very high experience. In most cases, that doesn't happen. That's very, very high. Very, very high thing. And that doesn't happen until the most senior stage of your devotional life. You follow? It's not something that you just meditate on. Once we asked Prabhupada, what can we meditate on while we're chanting? He said, Krishna's name, Krishna's dress. You saw Krishna today. What color is he wearing? He probably didn't, and most people's not, I don't know. I have to look again. Right. Well, what did you see when you looked? Did you notice? Oh, he's wearing a blue turban. Oh, today he has his such and such flute. That's deity meditation. And you remember that in the day. You can remember that. That is meditating on Krishna's form, how his flower garden was, such things like that. And you meditate on your service. You have to do things. Don't space it out. That's not meditation. Meditation means remember what you're supposed to do and do it in time. To help you do that, write it down. It's very practical. Krishna's service, that's the leela that you're in. You want to think about the leela over there and be dumb about the leela here. Understand? That's not how way it works. It begins here. Think of Krishna here. He's here in his name. He's here in his deity. He's here in the form of his devotees also. He's in the heart of his devotees. Pay attention to that. Serve the devotees. Serve the deity. Then you're serving Krishna. It begins there. Beginning is here. Not there. There is no, when I will begin to that side. When you're dead. When you're gone. Some man said, the proof that you have devotion is when you can take the betel nut from Krishna and put to Radharani's mouth. So I said, if that's true, you're either dead or you're dreaming. But it's no proof of your devotion. If it actually happens, I mean, you already left this world. You're already in samadhi. You've gone in eternal leela somewhere that's there. Then that's your proof. But you're not here to tell us about it. And if you think you're here and that you're that type of thinking, you're simply dreaming, wasting your time with sahajiya ideas. That is no proof. The proof is when your devotion matures, you feel some hole inside that I'm not actually a devotee properly. But you can't stop chanting and you can't stop serving and you keep on serving. Another man goes, I'm not a devotee. I'm tired of this. I'm going home. And he goes home. He says, that's right. You're not a devotee. You didn't do it properly. And you're not tasting anything. The other man says, I'm here for years. I'm not a proper devotee. I'm not real devotee. He feels that. I'm not really devotee. But, please excuse me, I have to do my service. And he goes. And he does service. And he never stops. Or she. Understand? But he doesn't feel, I'm a big devotee, please excuse me, I have to do some service. He never thinks like that. He thinks I'm a small devotee. Actually, I'm not even any devotee. I'm not even a devotee. Of course, he doesn't walk around banging his head on the wall all day. I'm not a devotee. I'm not a devotee. Then we think something else is wrong here. Oh, Prabhu, you're such a good devotee. And no, that is by Guru Maharaj's grace or something. He'll throw the credit goes somewhere else. Yeah, oh, Prabhu, you're a very good devotee. Yeah, I was also thinking like that. That's, maybe I should get the Yugachari Award. Is it being given? You know, some award. That's how the materialist thinks. You know? Oh, you're very talented. Oh, maybe I should, you know, be recognized, and then, you know, it moves like that. But the test of the matter is not that he says it, because you can also say the words. What's the politically correct thing to say? Someone says, oh, Gordon Ataraj, you're such a good cook. Then the politically correct thing to say is, no, that is Krishna's mercy, right? But he might be thinking, I'm a good cook. But he'll say the politically correct thing, right? That you can go on like that for forever, that kind of business, right? You actually have to feel it, not just say it. You can memorize all the lines. One day I was trying to, what is that verse? One should give in charity, receive gifts, and it's from Upadeshamrita. Tadati, Patiti, Guya Makati, Prichiti. I'm struggling with this Sanskrit. One Guruka boy, I know that verse, I know that verse, I know that verse. He gave that verse. Oh, I know. Everybody's looked at me. I know that verse. I said, yes, you know how to say it, but you don't know how to do it. He was very stingy, very selfish, you know, always sleeping late. He knew the verse, but he didn't know the verse same time. So it's not just about memorizing things. And memorizing high things, and you're in Krishna Leela. We wish it was so easy. It's not so easy. We'll go there in that way, and still the heart will be impure. We'll go there with tears in our eyes, but those won't be the real tears of love. Those will be the tears of deceit. Those will be the tears of self-adoration, self-distinction. The tears of pride. They will not be the tears of love. First, purification is necessary. So, please explain what is the Siddha Pranali. The Siddha Pranali means the perfection of spiritual life. It's called Siddha Pranali, the perfection. That is a whole long topic. These things I'm saying have some connection with that. Perfection. You should know something, what is the perfection? But then you have to work towards the perfection. And then not imitate the perfection. And it said, you know, symptoms of love of God, sometimes shivering of the body, sometimes tears, sometimes shaking the voice. So then the man decides to start to cry when he chants, when he talks, quivers the voice. And he thinks, by doing this, I also get like that. But why don't you pretend to be pregnant and see how long it takes to produce a child? You could just pretend forever. That was an example Gaurakishore Das Babaji used to give. He used to say the woman can pretend to be pregnant and go into the labor room and make all the sounds of childbirth, but there'll be no child in the end. Imitation does not produce Krishna. Only real Krishna bhakti. Then we have to know what that, find out what that is and try to go in that plane. Are there different gradations of service according to servitor's mentality, or is all the service absolute? It all has some quality of the absolute, but there is gradation. There's gradation in everything. Our service mentality, prasadam also, different types of prasadam, not just sweet and sour and salty and like that, but there's different type of prasad also. If you get prasadam and it's prasadam. But if you get some maha from Krishna's plate, why do we put that differently in prasadam hall? Then they come with the maha sweet rice, maha tulsi, maha pan. You know, they're different systems. We always keep something separate. In some temples, everything is kept separate. The sabji, the rice, the dal, and all of it is given separate. Right? Smaller temples, we'll put some things back in the pots and just keep few things separate. Because maha prasadam is got little more potency there. And then maha maha is there. Maha maha means there's Krishna's taking prasadam, and our guru takes some of that mahaprasadam, and if something there is left, that's called mahaprasadam. Gradation. Gradation. If it used to be at this time, there would be big prasadam, and there would be, sometimes Prabhupada would pass out cookies, cookie prasadam, sweets, some sweets in the West. In Vrindavan, it used to be a peda, Mathura peda. I used to go in Prabhupada's room and steal some of the pedas sometimes. But that's not as good as if he gives it in your hand, you see. So whenever he would distribute these sweets, there'd be a mad rush. A mad rush. And if somebody tried to help Prabhupada do it, well, then it was like, well, get your hand out of the way. We'll wait and take it from his hand. Then, if somebody else just said, here, and give to this person, that devotee, don't give it to me. I'm waiting in this queue. Right? I didn't come here for the cookie. I came here for the mercy. So there is some gradation in all things. And service is there. Service mentality is there. But don't be mental about all these things. It means don't try to overstrain the brain to understand everything. It doesn't come like that. It must have some basic understanding. And then there is, like prasadam, we say a prayer, we take prasadam. When maha prasadam comes, you generally just don't take it and throw it in with the rest of the prasadam. You do something to consciously say mahaprasadam. You take it in your hand and go like this, or you take the tulsi, and usually you don't take the tulsi and just put it in with the sabji and eat the tulsi and the sabji all like a sabji. You'll take the tulsi and take that and taste that tulsi, and you'll remember, oh, tulsi at Krishna's lotus feet. Then you'll go on taking the regular prasadam, isn't it? It's just a natural thing to do, to give some recognition, oh, that mahaprasadam. So gradation and then response accordingly, it is there. Everything not the same, but all varieties of prasadam, all levels of service, they have that underlying, yes, they are connected to the absolute truth, to Krishna. So I think that's enough of the questions. It gets to be a little bit redundant, just question, answer, question, answer, question, answer. So are there any questions? Go Premanandiyadi.